My name's Arlene Ellis. This is an interview with Mr. Arnold Marshall, who was born in the village of Eggleslie. The interview is part of a local history project on the history of Eggleslie village, and the interview is at the home of Mr. Marshall on Tuesday, the 25th of July, 2017. Thank you very much for giving your time and for doing this interview. Thank you for giving you time to talk about your connections and memories of the village. And I'd like to begin by asking you when and where you were born.
I was born in number one Pump Row, which is now called Wells Cottages. Who gave them the right to alter the bloody name? I don't know. But I was born in number one Pump Row.
So your parents were village people?
My parents were village people, yeah.
They were born there too.
I think my granny was a village person. And I was brought up with my granny because my mother didn't want me. I was born at number one Pump Row and I used to run round to my granny's. So I spent a lot of time at my granny's at number seven, the Green. And my mother and father ended up later on with living in number eight, the Green, at a later stage. And my father obviously was, later on in 39, was obviously in the war.
Mm. And as you're growing up, I assume you went to the village school?
Yeah, I went to the village school.
What age would you have been when you started there?
When
you started at the school, what age did they start?
I would think four or five, I would think, when I started there. And then when the war ended, I was about nine, I think. And during the war, we had a steel shelter in the house because we were so young we couldn't run to the air raid shelter, which there was one on the village green. There was a brick air raid shelter on the village green.
Right.
But we had what they call a table shelter, steel shelter, and my mother used to put us into there.
Yeah. That must have been quite scary at times. Did the planes come over a lot?
Yeah, I can remember, I don't know how old I would be, but I can remember opposite my granny's house, number seven, on the other side of the road, on the other side of the green, a hole in the roof, and the vicar coming out with a dustbin lid with something that must have been remnants of an aircraft shell, I presume, like a piece of shrapnel on a dustbin lid.
Oh my. As to being a little boy, that would have been quite fascinating, but obviously to
well,
a
yeah,
girl,
it was
quite horrific.
Yeah, it was, and the soldiers used to come, and I spent a lot of time down the farm in the fields near the river. And you're watching the soldiers training, doing river crossings across the river. Yeah, tying rope on the trees and practicing river crossings. Yeah, for the war years, you know.
Was there a barracks nearby, or did they
No, there wasn't. They just appeared. I don't know where they came from.
Come just to do the training.
And the prisoners of war used to come to the village, German prisoners of war. And one distinct memory I have of after the war, my father discovered a puppet made by prisoners of war and was given to my sister. And he wanted to know where it
came from
because we hadn't any toys. Only man-made toys. And I don't know who gave it away, but he discovered it was given to my sister by the German prisoners of war. He immediately took it out the back and smashed it to pieces. And it was so, he never ever forgave the Germans, so. But as I found out later on, when we lived at number eight, there was a knot of wood upstairs. We used to be chased to bed after the war years. And there was a knot of wood in the floor. And my father never used to talk about the war, the hard times, just the happy times. And we used to take turns, my brothers and I, take this, remove this piece of wood, this knot of wood, and listen to what they were saying below about, where were you, Jack? That was my dad's name. And my uncle Doug, my mother's brother, was in the Argyle and Southern Highlanders. And where were you, Doug? And exchanging stories.
You stories know. Of what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing.
So you had a lot of family in the village, actually, then? Or?
Well, no, my uncle Doug lived away. And my granddad, my mother's father, lived at Kirk Levington. And to tell you how hard it was in those years and before the war, my grandfather, as a gamekeeper at what is now Judges,
yes,
cut his finger, went to the laird or lord of the manor and said, I cut my finger, can it work, sort of thing. He said, oh, don't bother, Tom, just get out of the house and just, if you can't work, you're no good to me. And he ended up living in an old army hut opposite the Crown Hotel in Kirk Levington. And my day out, and my sisters and brothers, a day out was a walk from Eggleslip Village to Kirk Levington to see my granddad and granny, my other granddad on my mother's side. But I lived with my dad's mother predominantly, because four of us, it was a bit much for my mother to handle, you see. And my eldest brother used to stay with my mother's father at Kirk Levington, and I was with my granny, you know. Yeah. So my granny really brought us up.
So the houses, two up, two down, one up, one down.
No, there was.
What was it like living actually on the green, or sort of, you know, in that area?
Oh, well, my granny's house was, and my mother's house was, two bedrooms, and I used to. Later on, my granny's son got married and lived, and I remember sleeping in the same room with granny and granddad, and I can always hear the birds used to be rattling about under the tiles, you know, the starlings, yeah, like, going to bed on the night, and I was always fascinated in nature, things like that.
Because of that.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you this question because I know my grandfather in his house had an outside toilet, and he had to go out to get the water. Was it the same in those days there?
Yeah, it was just the same. He had to go out to the toilet. There was no bath.
No.
No bath or anything like that. And my sister used to go to the farm and collect the milk in a jug, go down to the farm and collect the milk, you know.
Yeah.
And the toilet was outside, and I can see my granny now on all of those big old mangles, you know, going round, turning, putting the clothes through. And every time the hard winters, there would be, the outside toilet would flood because the lead pipes would burst and there was water all over, you know, that kind of thing.
But we don't know we're living today, do we?
No, and the school, of course, when I was at school, there was no chemical toilets. There were what I call now was thunder boxes. And, you know, there was, it was horrendous, you know. It was.
They were outside too, I assume.
There was outside, you know, the good times were the community spirit. As I got older, towards the end of the war, be about nine or something, I can remember I thought, what's these things on the back of my mother's, like the washouts, sort of thing? And there were rings for playing quoits with. And my granddad apparently had won a gold watch in a competition on the village green. So we used to play quoits on the village green, and the quoit pitch was just where that stone crosses at the near the top seat.
Yes,
was just to the right of there. It was clay and then two big steel pegs in the clay, and we used to play quoits. And the fellas after the war, you know, taught us how to play.
Yeah.
And of course, my father was one of few that was in the forces during the war. There was another guy who was in the forces during the war, who lived in the corner of the green, called Bell. Bertie Bell was his brother, Cyril Bell, and he was killed during the war. So a lot of them went to the pub, and they used to come out of the pub, and we'd be playing quoits on the village green, and they would see them, five or six of them, come out of the pub on a Sunday or weekend, and we'd be playing football or playing quoits, and they would join in and show us how to play quoits. And the community spirit, everybody in the summer nights, harvest time, would be sitting on the seats, you know, sitting on the steps, rather.
Mm.
And all the doors were open. Nobody ever locked the doors. Anybody could go and go and borrow a cup of sugar or a couple of slices of bread and things like that. And one thing I thought was amazing, we used to play football with a pig's bladder.
Oh my.
Yeah, no rubber.
Yeah.
You know, we used to play with a pig's bladder on the village green. And, you know, it was happy, happy times. And we just used to spill out down the farms in school. What I can remember of school, I think I can remember, sometimes I could go missing down the fields, and they wouldn't know. Record that I was missing. Yeah, and I was down the fields, and just used to come back at dinner time or something like that. And my brother, I said to him, I want you to paint the fence. Get out there and paint the fence. And he went home. When he came home, my mother said, what's the matter with your face? And all his face was all spots with a crease on. It burnt his face.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So some of my punishment was, we had an allotment belonging to the school, had a garden up there. And they knew I liked gardening. They must have known, because I didn't want to leave it, because I didn't like the lessons, because I was always getting a cane. And they used to say, get up and go up the school garden, out of the way, you know. So I used to go up the garden on my own, the school garden. And dig and mess about in the school garden.
And you could grow vegetables and
oh yeah, they used to grow all sorts of vegetables.
Did they use them in the school for food, or were you allowed to take them home?
Oh, we're allowed to take them home, yeah, that's right, yeah, yeah,
And, I mean, the village green, I can't imagine an air raid shelter on it. Has it changed much with the trees?
No, it hasn't changed much. Apart from, as I notice it now, the trees, the circumference is greatly increased, you know. The walnut tree, as we know, we used to forever, the yam, lads, gangs from the yam, as I got older, would come up Stony Bank and raid our walnut tree. We were ever fighting them off. They used to come and get our walnuts. Well, the walnut tree, the circumference would be about like that, and I was forever climbing up it.
Yeah.
But now it's like that, and all the trees, it's lovely now to see them so large and
you know, sort of canopies.
It's like lovely, the canopies are beautiful.
It's a lovely green.
You know, they've grown.
Yeah. And the cross that's there, when was that put there? What actually is that? The cross that's on the green, or the bit of the cross.
I don't know any history of that at all. And there was just where the road comes into the village green, around by the wall on the right hand side. There's quite an old house. I think it's one of the oldest houses in the village. That's just there on the corner as you sort of sweep around and go up towards the pub.
Yeah.
Well, there was a V-shaped dome, like a with tiles on it, and a wee door, and I can only remember it opened about once, and all these steps down into what was very wet and dark, and it was only rumoured, it used to be a tale among us children that if you went down there, you went under the river and you came out at the fireys on the other side of the river. But it's not there now, and I often wonder as I got older, like, I wonder what was down there, you know,
yeah.
Whether it was like You know, you can imagine somewhere we keep the wine down there, you know, something like that.
Secret passage. Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Do you remember events on the green, or events the school had, or in the church?
Or events the school used to have the maypole, and used to dance on the maypole, and I wouldn't dance, so they made me in charge of the gramophone. So I had to wind the gramophone up, and they'd be dancing on da la 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 da la la da da la da dee 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 dee. Marshall, and I said, wind it like hell, you know. I'd be looking at the birds in the trees or something like that, listening to the birds. I'm not dancing. So I used to shout, you know, Marshall, to give it a few turns, and they'd be off again, you know.
Great.
And there wasn't much anything organised as much in the village, but everybody just used to, you know, come out. We'd be footballing. We just used to make our own entertainment. But there was nothing really organised and formal about it. It was just you know, like we would be playing football. And one memory about the football, there was a little shop in the village run by Rachel and Sally Doughty. And there was a lad that lived in there, and I don't know what relation he was to the two sisters, but their shop people were the only people in the village that had money. And so he used to appear onto the village green at football at half time with a bottle of lemonade, you know. So the horriblest memory I have of taking, we used to have maybe a crust of bread or something to take on at half time, and we'd be trying to drink some of this lemonade with bits of bread floating about where other people had been drinking it, and the bread had gone into the lemonade, you know. And this originally, as I say, we used to pay it with a pig's bladder. And Bertie Bell, a lad who lived in the village, who used to work on the farm, which was Jewel's farm, which was over there, there's all houses on it now. He used to keep a pig, and he used to come onto the village green, and we used to say, "Oh, Bertie, not bringing that pig on here when we're trying to play football." And I always remember, because he had a piece of string on his back leg, and he used to walk on the village green when we were playing football with a pig. And he used to say, "Never mind the bloody football, will you go down the fields and get us some acorns for the pig?" So we used to go down the fields and get acorns that had fallen down in the autumn for his pig. And he used to have this pig on a rope and the pieces, you know, on his back leg, so he couldn't run away.
Well, village greens, I suppose, originally were public sort of
That's right. I can see some geese on there, but I don't know who owned those in the early part. I think they were down the farm. And the hall as it's known, that was the cowman that lived on that worked on the farm. He used to live in there.
Right.
And probably David and Johnny Smith would have told you that. It was habitable then.
Yeah.
It's all fallen down now, of course. Yeah. It's sad really to see it just left like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know whose fault that was to just let it go. But it was lived in, you know.
It was
so,
at the time.
And we used to, there was stacks of corn in the farmyard down there, and we used to go down there. I could see it with grannies and hear the choo 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 choo, and it would be the steam engine pulling a thrasher,
right,
which was parked then in the farmyard, and then the corn, the sheaves of corn, would be put through the thrasher, and we used to go down there and catch the mice, you know, kill the mice. You know, and they were full of the corn, the stacks would be full of rats and mice, you know, and as it got down, we used to be all congregate, the kids in the village with sticks, because that's the rats and everything would run down and wouldn't leave it till the last minute to run out and make the exit, so make the escape. So we used to chase them with the dogs would be there, and it was great fun with that, you know.
Steam.
But the steam engine used to come with pulling the tractor. And I can remember during or just after the war, with the first ice cream man that came on a bike, you know, with a I don't know where he appeared from, like where he belonged really, but he just came.
He used to come to the village.
At times, you know, just.
With like the little freezer box. And,
yeah, that's right, like, yeah. Oh, and give goodness. You ice cream, you know. Yeah. Yeah. But the trouble was we had no money.
the only
people that had money were the people. When you go round the village, back out of the village now, on your right hand side to where the entrance to the hall is, on your right hand side. The Cordonleys, I think it used to be, lived in there. And during fireworks or Christmas time, we used to go round there and sing carols. And you know, you get the only people that have money who maybe get sixpence or something like that, or a penny.
So
or something.
You knew where to go.
And we knew where to go. Everybody, all the village lads used to go around there.
Yeah.
And we used to congregate on the village green all the time. We used to meet what we used to call the top seat, where the seat is there now.
Yes.
And there was a lamppost there. I think there was only two, maybe three gas lamps in the village in those days. And I knew I was forever climbing up these lampposts. And my Aunt Lizzie, she hated it. And she, that was me granny's auntie. And she reminded me of, I don't know whether you remember Mother Riley, Mother Riley. She looked like her, a big long black skirt and a little hat and black waistcoat and a knobbly stick. And she said, "Get down on the lamp, get down." And she'd be poking me with this stick.
Stick up there.
Yeah.
Did she smoke a clay pipe?
No, she didn't smoke a pipe. No, she didn't. But it wouldn't surprise me if she had.
Some ladies way back in the day.
Oh, they did, yeah. And round next door to number one, there was an old guy called Billy Raby. And I think he must have worked in the quarry at some time, as my mother said, because he had, like, part of his head was, his skull was delved in where some of his land. And I can remember now, the old black lead fireplace, you know. I used to go in there. I don't know why I used to go in there, but used to, maybe because right opposite there, right opposite where I was born, number one, there was a pump there.
Was there?
And there was, there was a pump there, yeah.
No, I'm not.
And there's
that
an old there was a pump there. And there's an old pear tree there. And I don't know where the pear tree is there, but it always used to be ready at Christmas time. Because as village lads, we knew where all the fruit trees were, because we would go down there and get something to eat, you know, this kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And down the bottom of the village, where the stackyard used to be, where they used to have the stacks of corn, just beyond there, there's a big fruit orchard there, but it's all gone now. And that didn't belong to the farm, it belonged to a guy that lived down Stony Bank. The first house as you come down Stony Bank at the bottom on the left hand side, he lived there, called Wilson. And he used to have the coal business.
Right.
And he'd come on a horse and cart round the village with the bags of coal, you see. And then his son took it over after him, after the war.
Was the coal business near the village or?
Well, the coal business was, I used to get his coal where, the only way I can describe it, used to be garage there. We come down Butts Lane, turn right, left to go to Yarm on your right hand side. Mm-hmm. Those new buildings there. Well, in there was a coal yard. And he used to get his coal from there and deliver it round the village in sacks with his horse and cart. And he used to keep his horse just behind where the hall is now.
The
parish hall is there. There was a lane up there, and he kept his horse up there. Because we as kids used to go up and talk to it, stroke it.
Yeah.
And we used to go down the farm, obviously harvest time. And there were all horses and carts. And for a bit of excitement or something to do, or the farmer would welcome us. The only time the farmer made us welcome, because we would lead the horses at harvest time when they were loaded with with the corn, lead them up to the stackyard to get the corn transported from there onto the to the stack, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was, harvest time was a long process for the farmer, but it was also, it was always happy time for us lads, because it always seemed to be lovely weather, lovely red sunsets and lovely evenings, and we would be down the farm helping the farmers, you know, because it was all in stooks, and then you come along with your horse, and then the guy on the farm, on the farmer's labourers would put it onto the trail, and then you would take, as soon as the horse was, then you'd take the horse, but the horses used to know where they were going.
Anyway.
And my sister would remind me, she said, you knocked a gatepost down one time, with the horse. But the horse, once it got speed up, they didn't want to stop, you had to be careful, you didn't get your feet under them.
Yeah.
And go straight through the gate, and there wasn't much room for error on either side, and I was a bit to one side, and the cart hit the gatepost. And we used to go, just during the war years, we'd go tatey picking down the farm. And I can remember the farmer saying to me, oh, look at here, Marshall. And he'd go along with his feet and find one that was partly covered with earth, you know, and wouldn't cover it, you know. He'd missed one there, you know. Make you do it all again, you know.
Was that paid work, like a job?
Oh, yeah, they used to give us, I don't know how much, not very much, you know.
Yeah.
And they used to sit on what the old trough, used to sit there and pay them out. And I used to green with envy, looking to see what, try and listen to see how much the adults got, you know.
Yeah.
And we got a couple of coppers, you know, maybe sixpence or something like that, or a shilling or something.
So
like
when
that.
You finished school too, did you stay in the village, or?
But
when you finished school, did you stay in the village? You know, what did you do then? When you finished at the primary school, or was that right through to a certain age?
No, I went, my last year, I went to Preston.
Ah.
I went to Preston. My brother, who finished at 14, I carried on, the age limit had been increased to 15. My brother and my sister left at 14, left the village, you know. But we never learnt anything at the village. I mean, they had fires, and in the winter, the teachers were just sat with their back to the fire.
Fires in the classroom?
Yeah. I don't know, I can't remember teaching. I don't think I could tell the time till I was about nine. It was just abandoned, you know. At least I think. There were happy times, just for half a time. Get up the garden, Marshall, and my brother, go and paint the fence. You know, when you think back, I thought...
That's lessons in life, isn't it, really? Rather than lessons in maths.
I didn't mind, go up the garden, I didn't mind. Yeah. You know, I thought it'd be out the way.
Yeah.
But there was a girl there, she's on one there, but I also remember her, Margaret Watts. She was a farm labourer's daughter. And the girls, behind what is the hall now, it was separated. The girls played in one half and the boys played in this half. And if you ever, the girls used to play, all in together, girls, never mind the weather, girls. And if we, all right, some of you boys should come in and play. And they used to, like, if you think you can skip, you know, so we used to go in and they used to pepper your legs, you know, with the, go faster. And if you upset one of the girls, they used to send Margaret Watts to see you off, you know. Get out of our half, you know, and they'd have enough of you. Margaret Watts would come, right, you lot, get out. And they used to have to chase back into your own half. But I can't remember a fence being there to separate us. But it was just that that was there, over that line was...
Yeah. You know, that's it.
Can I say something?
Yes.
His sister said that their aid shelter for the school was where the new churchyard is.
Oh, right.
Aid shelter for what?
From school. From the aid.
Oh, right. Oh, yes.
It was where the new churchyard is.
Yeah, that's right, where the new churchyard. I thought you meant in the village, because there was one on the village green and one opposite the school.
And Lillian has a bracelet all the girls were given a bracelet with the name and address on. She said the boys had something round the neck, but Arnold doesn't remember that.
I don't remember that.
But Lillian still has the bracelet, because I did bring it at one stage. But when they said you were going to interview us, when nothing happened, she took it back again, you know. But she has got the bracelet.
Back able to borrow it, possibly, for our exhibition, yes.
Well, yes, if, I'm sure nice. She'll let you have it,
that would
yes.
be nice. That would be nice. When the war ended, was there a big celebration in the village?
Oh, yeah, well, we had bonfires and everything. There was a big bonfire on the village green, and with a guy and everything. And in those days, the farmer, Mr. Smith, and his father before him, well, I can remember Alan Smith, who was Johnny's father, we would all be standing there, because what... You have got to understand, the people of today is that they were highly respected in those days and held in high regard because of they gave employment to the village. A lot of the guys in the village, Luke Marshall, Ben Marshall, I mean, I'm a man, but there are no race who was, Colin Butler. My own brother worked on the farm. There was about 89 of people working on the farm. Was now, but all there is now is Simon and his dad sort of thing. So there was 5 or 6, up to 9 working on the farm. So when we had a bonfire, for example, it wasn't lit. There was strict discipline among the kids. We wouldn't dare light the fire because towards the evening getting on, we were getting impatient. And then Mr. Smith would come from the bottom with his wife. And he would light the fire, and then a big cheer would go. And when he was quite skillful at breaking in horses and riding them at point to points, you know. And I can remember the buses, well, a bus used to come, a little bus used to come, and half of the village used to go and support him when he used to ride in these events, you see. He would go, they would go. See, but now when I talk to Simon, his grandson, he says something like, well, you never guess, Arnie, I've had a complaint. What for? 2 policemen arrived, some lady walking a dog around my land said the dog got electrocuted on the fence. Well, I mean, or the complaint about the smell of the farm, you know, well... They park the cars and he can't get past with the tractor. Well, in my day, it was living. It was they were late. They were we relied on the farm.
That's right.
We respected the farm. And when I go around the farm now, and I see down by the golf course where the path is, where. Children ought to know better, not kids 14 or 15 year olds running havoc in the corn. I say to my wife, well, we would never have done, have no respect for it anymore. And it saddens me, you know, to really think, well, why are they doing that? Running about in the corn, you know, flattening it. You're losing all that expensive money and running about. And we wouldn't have, we were brought up differently, you know. So, yeah. It's, I can't understand why they do it, but they do it. They say to be seen, you know.
Did you play sport in the village? Did you, I mean...
We used to run races around the village green, you know, that kind of thing, run races around the village green. And funny enough about the hall was the main hall in the village, you know, on the left-hand side as you come in the village.
Yes.
The big, there was my brother... My eldest brother married one of the maids. I mean, it was inhabited by the lord and lady at the time, and she was a maid. And we'd be sitting on the village green. Of course, my brother was 2 or 3 years older than me. And I said, what are you looking at, Jack? And he said, never you mind. And he was looking at the maid who was be sitting in the window, was be waving out of the window, and, you know, in the top window where the maid's quarters were, waving out the window. And, we, and only years after I found out what he was looking at. It was the maid. And of course, she's died and passed on, and my brother's died. So,
So when did you move out of the village?
Well, I moved out because my wife got diabetes. And because we live in the caravan, with the church kicking us out, the council give us a council house on the, But I was gonna go to Canada. Because she got diabetes, so I blame it on her. I could have been there, could have been over there, no, living in luxury. Oh. Yeah, I mean, it's the one country you never hear a whisper about there.
It's different.
So I moved out the village sadly. And when I look back, just this morning actually, I looked to my right, and there's a house not far from your house. And if I go back and have another look, I just caught my eye this morning, it's up for rent.
Mm.
Well, Ivy Sadler lived in one of those houses. She said to me, Arnie, when you get married, you can have my house for £1,000. So Sheila and my mother, I said, oh, I'm not going to look at it. I haven't got £1,000 anyway. But I said, go and have a look at it. And Sheila and my mother went and had a look at this house for £1,000.
Which was a lot of money in those days.
Exactly.
So we're talking of 60 years ago.
I don't know whether it's Bertie Bell's house or Ivy Sadler's house that's for let now. One of them.
Oh, right.
Right, next question.
I just say, I think you have an allotment in the village. So
I have now.
You never left the village, really, did you?
I've never left the village, really. Mm-hmm. My heart and soul are still up
there.
I love walking around there. Mm-hmm. Sadly, I don't know anybody. You know, so
well, you know me now.
I know you now.
You can say hello.
You're a village girl. Well, one guy said, I said to him, I'm going on my bike down by the Davies farm, and he lived at number one. The green, number one, the green, had a little black cocker spaniel. And I said to him, joking, I said, where do you live, son? He said, oh, number one. Oh, I said, right. I said, I'm a villager. I said, I'll tell you what, we'll have a game of coins when I come back. And I could see by his face he didn't know what I was talking about.
Yeah.
And I said, if I see you, and then I saw him another morning, I said, I'll give you a bit of history next time I come back. And I think it's number one, the green.
Mm.
I think it's... It's for sale, I think. Mm. Oh, it was.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, no, thank you. That's been fascinating. I mean, obviously it's a very old village
and it's changed tremendously,
I imagine, really slowly over lots of years. So it's really nice to hear your memories of it.
There might be something else. I wrote some notes, but I've forgotten. I might have forgotten some of what I was going to say.
Yes, you were born in 1936. He didn't tell you that, did he?
Oh, yeah, born in
1936.
I'm 81 now.
81. Oh, that's great.
Happy day.
Well, it's nice that, you know...
Oh, it was lovely, isn't it? Everybody knew everybody,
you know.
You know, the doors were open and you could go anywhere and borrow anything. Sad the way it is now. I mean, I've lived here, I don't know. I don't even know the names of the people who live over there.
I don't even know the names.
Yeah. Different.
Oh, well, thank you very, very much for giving your time. I've enjoyed the story.
I could go on forever, but when I get going. What did I write down the bottom? I can't see without my glasses. Oh, yeah, I did get caught by the local policeman.
Did he live in the village or did he... Just do a beat?
I think it was a Sergeant Woodward. Yeah. And near where David Smith, the entrance to the farm is, where David Smith lives now.
Mm.
Which that at that time, Mr. Smith actually bought another farm. Because it belonged to Armand's, but David would have told you that. Well, anyway, there was a large hawthorn tree there, and there was always starlings used to go into that tree and get the hawthorn berries.
Yeah.
Well, I hated it. I didn't like starlings. And I was always keen with my catapult, you know, because all the village lads, we all had catapults. And I was just taking aim at this starling, and PC Woodward came round on his bike and he caught me, took my catapult off and hit me round the ear. I always remember that. And it's later on when I joined the Coldstream Guards and I was on a recruiting drive and I bumped into his son, and he said, "I'm so-and-so, Woodward." I said, "Your dad wasn't the village Bobby, was he?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, he'd tell him I'm older now, he hit me on the head." But if my dad had been at home, he'd give me another one, but he didn't tell him. Mm. I don't dare tell my dad, you know. That was just a sort of after the war, you
did
know.
Did the policeman live in the village?
No, he didn't live in the village.
He just did the rounds on his bike.
He just did the rounds on his bike, yeah. The police house was just up, if you come out of Butts Lane and go straight across the road and up, I think it's just about opposite where you would come out there. That was the police house there. And he used to come on his bike up round the village, you know. And because during the war, I'd be in that place where I've told you to go and do an archaeological dig behind the farm. There was always rabbits in there because it was ash. The people from the village must have had permission, I would imagine. I can't imagine just being refuse from the farm. It was that deep in ash, and tins of baccy tins and clay pipes and bottles, and naturally, with it being easy to excavate, the rabbits were. So I was forever down there, and the farmer would come, "What are you doing, young Marshall?" I said, "Oh, I'm after a rabbit." "Well, get away home." And he wouldn't, and that, you know, just something to eat, you know, he would chase you.
Yeah.
But he never hit me or anything, but he was forever chasing me, you know. And I'd be down there trying to get a rabbit, trying to dig them out. I didn't even have a ferret. And that's how I used to see all these tins with robins on, baccy tins and things like that, and bottles and things.
Wow.
Full of bottles.
Great.
And it's all grassed over.
Mm.
And there used to be a pond there, and my brother used to say to me, "Hey, we're going to Devil's Hill Pond." I said, "Where's Devil's Hill?" And he told me, I know it now. It's just where this ash tip was, just to the right of there. There used to be a long pond, and there was this little hillock, and it was called Devil's Hill. How it was called, why, whether Johnny at the farm might know, but he'll know it as Devil's Hill. That's what it was called. It was maybe years ago. It was
for some reason,
it must have happened.
Well, thank you very much.
I've gone on too long.
No, you haven't. It's fantastic. It's wonderful. Thank you very, very much indeed. I really appreciate it. I'll turn it off. I can
turn it off. If you get the kite fish ready. Why don't you get the kite fish to go? We'll have a game of kites. Do you know, you've turned it off. Right.
Hold on a minute. Let's just make sure it's off.